Let's have the restroom open.
And we'd like to welcome everyone out to our Mount Pleasant City Council meeting, May 9th, 6:30, regular meeting. Sorry, we're running just a little bit late. We'll start out tonight with Will Tucker leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance, after which Donna Schaaf will give us the opening prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be here. We're grateful for this town that we have to live in, for the good people of Mount Pleasant. We're grateful for those who served and for the just the blessings that we have to be in this small town. We ask you please be with us tonight as they discuss city business and stuff, that we can find solutions for things and help continue to keep this town the way that it is and to be a good place that it is to raise our families and stuff. We're grateful for this free country that we have to live in and for the blessings that it brings to us. And we say these things in Jesus Christ's name.
Thank you. We'll have a roll call.
That's not Peter.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Cole.
Here.
Rocky.
Here.
And Sam. And then Dusty.
Next, approval of minutes of our March 28th, 2016 public hearing, I would 6 p.m. Yes, you do. Okay, that's it.
I have it already.
Yeah, then you put the back. We'll have to change what bring it up for the next time. All right, next we'll do the April 11th, 2023 regular city council meeting.
That we approve the minutes from our Pleasant City Council meeting held on April 11, 2023 at 6:30 p.m.
Second. We have a motion by Rondi, second by Russell, to approve the minutes of the April 11, 2023 regular city council meeting held at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is our April 25th, 2023 regular city council meeting at 6:30.
I was there, I was right there.
You were, well, that's right, you were looking out for it. Well, I make a motion to approve the minutes for April 25th, 2023, 6:30 regular council meeting.
Say that more.
Okay, I have a motion by Russell, second by Ron, to approve the April 25th, 2023, regular city council meeting held at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, next is approval of adjustments, transaction registered with 4/1/23 to 4/30/23, in the amount of $134.37.
I'll make a motion to approve transaction registered dated 4/1/23 to 4/30/23, in the amount of $134.37.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul, second by Russell, to approve the transaction registered dated 4/1/23 to 4/30/23, in the amount of $134.37. Roll call.
Lynn.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Lynn.
Yes.
Ron.
Yes. Next is approval of claims registered dated 4/21/23 to 5/5/23, in the amount of $532,002.22.
Subdivision out there.
What page?
The Horseshoe Meadows subdivision.
What page?
Huh?
What page are you on?
1/5. Where did you work? JB, and JBB.
Oh, the vendor totals for that. So 10,000 of it's the well progress, and then 1,548 of us. So, Blunt Hill subdivision, the engineering plan will be which will be passed on to you today.
It will be passed on to them.
Yep.
Okay. Alright. Easy Street.
Wow. Again.
Over on page 5 for the Easy Street, how many tons is that? It's got to be several loads.
Probably 2,000.
Wow. I remember that on the list. It's about 27, 28 tons.
Talking about.
Yeah.
that's 56.7.
Around 60 tons. Yeah, 60 times 5,000 ton. Delivered. Just a little over.
I'll make a motion to approve claims. Let's see. Claims and after decision, let's see. Claims register dated 4/21/2023 to 5/5/2023 in the amount of $532,002.22.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul, seconded by Rondi, to approve claim register dated 4/21/2023 in the amount of $532,002.22. Roll call.
No, I didn't get this in there to pick through it. I think I was.
Yeah, I put two of them in my computer. Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes. No requisitions?
Do you want to do this now? Or when it comes to me?
Either way.
Move the signals out.
Let's do it now.
Okay. I've got three bids for new shingles or metal roof on the concession stand at the railroad grounds in the restroom. The shingles are not shaped, they're blown off and tore. Needs to be redone. And I've got three bids and they're all for metal. A metal finish instead of shingles. Talbot's bid was $13,673. Hancock Roofing was $11,796. And PJ Roofing was $10,500. But I have a question with his bid. He doesn't give any kind of a warranty on his work. Or these others do.
Well, then, paint cuts the next one.
Yeah.
Is he a price on shingles filter?
So, one shoe is 130 in the spread on shingles. So, that'll bring our shingle price to $2,950 with $500 worth of nails and underlayment. The only thing I forgot was some new drip head. So, total about $3,450. What we could, if me and you and Paul half and single bit on the weekend, we'll be into about 3,500.
I'm not batting you can do it, but that's what happened on this last one. It was volunteers done it, and now look at it.
The only question I really have, if we're going to go serious on this card deal, how long is that little ground going to be there?
Yeah, but that concession stand, or that cement building stuff, could stay there forever.
I mean, I honestly, it could probably fall into the new plan.
You could turn right into the restroom.
I mean, that's the cement buildings. I mean, they're not...
It isn't really easy. You could turn right into the restrooms for the park.
I have a hard time knocking them buildings down. I think we could always work around it somehow.
35-year shingle?
Yeah, they're okay.
They're 30s. All the shingles now are 30 years. The architect's shingles.
I know the metal would last a lot longer, but it's 5 times the price, 3 times the price. Well, that's with labor. Like, we never got any labor.
Yeah. You're willing to go out there?
Yep.
I'll furnish the Pepsi.
Hey!
Water for me, please.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say
we're
going to the shingle myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say
the
shingle.
We'll probably have to get it done before the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And there could be damage to the underlying plywood, so that might have, some of that might have to be replaced.
Piece of plywood in there too, huh? Well, Mike's been a contractor. I think it'll be done good. And I told him Mike up there. Who's the other one?
Paul Hanson. He's been a roofer for years.
He works for Vern.
He got out of city cleanup last Saturday and was kind of talking to us, and we said he was going to try and shingle. Maybe we looked at him and said, I'll come help you. I'll come up. Come volunteer with you.
Yeah, you're in.
So,
good deal. I just tell these guys,
we'll leave it up to you to get her done.
There you go.
Get on Teller.
Huh?
You get on Teller.
She was.
I've got a signal gun if somebody needs to borrow it.
I need to have one other open ball, and I know we got a bag.
You need to have two of them.
What color do you want to go with?
I'm sorry, if they're gone, you know it.
Well, the lighter, the longer they'll last.
But the wind pulls it. That's one of your troubles with white shingles. Is the wind doesn't see the tar on the shingles don't seal down.
They don't hang down and get hot.
They don't get hot enough to heat down. That's part of the trouble you have with white shingles is they don't seal or something.
Well, we're not worried about cooling in there, so you can pretty much go as dark as you want.
Okay.
Talks about me.
So, do we need a motion to approve the shingle to them then? We probably ought to just I guess so you know there'll be a bill coming for shingles, I guess, either way. There'll be no labor, but bills for shingles coming.
It'll just be a requisition, huh?
Well, it'll just be a bill coming.
With the matter, we're probably talking 5,000 in. In the metal, because the labor is at least double.
Yeah.
So,
listen, when the metal is flashing around all the, like the exhaust fan and all that, that's where the metal would get expensive. And your drain vents and all that stuff. That and the picture metal put over them and those flashings are so costly.
That's good.
We'll make a motion we approve the shingles for the rodeo park.
Second.
Yeah, motion by Russell, second by Paul, to approve the shingles for the rodeo shack and restaurants. Let's do a roll call.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Ronnie?
Yes.
Okay, next. Road response, station of sewer line to A&G Trailer Park. Come on up and present.
Thank you.
for what we've worked on so far. Can I present to you or to everyone?
Probably best stand over there because then the mic might get you.
So first of all, I can introduce myself. I'm Brody Swanson. I own the mobile home park, which is fairly large in the town here. We have some issues that we've been running into with the septic tanks, and I would like to see if you guys were all okay with us being able to pull out the sewer just so it looks like it's 0.65 of a mile from where it's at currently. We have a lot of septic work that we've worked on with engineers and whatnot in the past, just the last few months, like expansion and whatnot. And I guess the process would either be us putting in septic tanks and redoing the ones that are there and adding to the fields that we have, or just being able to put it in viral sewer lines out to the park and being able to plug in the pads and then adding another about 80 pads out there. So with that being said, we have a bid that's pretty hefty, and after looking with contractors and an engineer at where you guys is the sewer lines are right now, it's going to be a little bit less expensive for us to be able to pull them out and much less of a headache later on with maintenance every month and upkeep with the septic tanks and stuff. So I guess I'm not sure what the process of this, but do you guys have questions for me?
I've got a question. Would the state let you have a right-of-way along the state road?
Ooh.
Or would you have to go back on private property to get an easement?
That's a great question. I guess I'll have
to. I don't think the state would let you.
Okay.
But that's just me.
Okay. I can definitely check with that. I've had engineers talking with the state as far as developing for the septic tanks out there. And we have what I handed Mayor Olson right here, a future plat for what we're working on right now, and the water system is going to have suppression for fire and ability to add pads as well, and whatnot out there, fire hydrants and stuff. And then just the sewers, the septic tanks that we have planned for the septic field out there. So I can definitely figure out what the state, if they would allow the easement to be pulled out there.
Is there enough fall for me and Jay into town?
We looked at it a week ago, and there would be gravity flowing, so it would be okay for that. If not, then we'd be totally fine with adding a pump system in.
One concern that Cooper brought to me with redoing this sewer master plan, there were some areas on Fifth West that if we give too many more houses, we're going to have to upsize that line. Where was that area?
There was an outfall line on Fifth West from Second North. Everything kind of channeled on the north side of town, over Second North and hits the outfall line, and then comes down across by Fifth, just below Fifth. And one of our areas on our master plan that was tight was that in that outfall line between Second North and Fifth.
Yeah, I'm not very sure what that means.
That's what our city system. So we just redone our sewer master plan.
Gotcha.
And that was one area that our engineer that done that sewer master plan said there was a concern area that we had to watch as growth goes into that north end of the town, or the town, that at a certain point we're going to have to upsize that line for those three blocks because this.
An outfall line is where all of our sewer systems are down, comes to, and that's a really big main that takes it to our pond.
Okay.
Is what an outfall line is.
Gotcha.
And so my concern is adding another development on the north end of town where we just added a big development, we would be pushing having to upsize that outfall line.
How long is that, do you know?
It goes to Second North to Main is where.
It's about a block, right?
It'd be two blocks.
So if it was something that we could work out costing with on, would that be something that we would be able to throw in there as far as bringing the sewers in with the same size pipe and bringing it down there? I guess that's that.
I'm not sure. What, from on Fifth North, from State Street West, is there a sewer line?
there is, and then it comes across the floor, it goes down the door class, and then everything funnels back to Second North.
That's in front of the church over there.
Yeah, then it all comes back to the south.
Okay.
Yeah, the sewer right there.
So, to upgrade that, we probably ought to go clear to Fifth West and then back to Second North.
Yeah, because there's no sewer down below.
Right.
That new church.
Right. And that's going to be developed someday, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So if we're going to do it.
In fact, it doesn't hit the alcohol line until Second North.
Second North, yeah. So you're talking 5, 10, 15. You're talking about 3,000 feet.
Sounds pretty expensive.
Yeah.
What size line are we going to have to go to?
Probably have to go there. Probably a 12 inch.
I can't remember what that area was. I should have looked it up again on our study.
How big is that outfall line on Second North?
I believe it's 2 to 8 or 10.
Was that all?
Yeah. Mm. I think we have to draft it up right now.
With that subdivision up here going in, if that gets that 65 dwellings in there,
yeah,
that's so probably going to have to upgrade that to handle that.
So a map will come to, they come to the Midwest and then they go out to San Jose over there, right there, and that's where they get the outfall line. And we start coming back to the field right there. And that's the map where they go, where we have the high flow, where they say, down here in some area.
Yeah. So is it something where we have to add another manhole or just upgrade those lines in order to make that system?
To upgrade the outfall line, we need to take it further north, I think, and we'd have to get, we'd have to look into that. I don't even know what that would cost.
Is there any sort of other, I guess, ways around that, or is it just because of the
Yeah, we could. It'd be interesting to go back and pull their JUB study on that to know what size is for sure there and what they would recommend to upsize that to.
On the state easement, they're allowing that.
Yeah, I'll definitely check on the state easement. Just double check that.
Because we were just saying, I don't know if you'd actually do it, it might be easier if you're going to extend that line to go stay on Fifth West and go all the way out on the county road and then up.
Okay.
Oh, clear out the city road.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's a little bit further, but that sounds more doable to do it that way.
So my only concern with that is if you start sending the sewer main that far, everybody in the top septic tanks that far is going to want to tie in, and that adds that many more connections onto the sewer system.
There's impact fees for that, correct?
Yeah.
Well, it has a dramatic effect on growth projection model that was built into the sewer plan that identified those critical areas.
So when they went over a master plan, they took in just city limits, the new development up in the northeast corner, and then they took in the one on the south end of town, and the one on Fifth West that was a potential, but we had not a drawing or anything of this in the master plan.
I'm just wondering if I'm looking into my engineer on my end, seeing if we can get some drawings.
I guess we'll grow a little bit faster than we're ready for it, maybe.
I guess.
Yeah.
Would we possibly be able to tie in the bigger size lines just currently until you guys would need to do the infrastructure? I guess.
We don't really have any.
We don't have the infrastructure. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I think on that sewer master plan, it seems like we should be fine for 25 years of our current growth projections.
we would be accelerating that dramatically by adding rounds.
I think rather talk to Jay and be about it and see what their thoughts are.
Yeah. Did you guys get to see this proposed?
Yeah, and between you back to the south to the drive-in theater, all that property in there, this comes down and that sewer goes out, somebody's going to go, hey, we're going to put a subdivision in here. I don't know.
But then on the other hand, if they're going to put 60 units out there and they're going to be hauling that much, hauling that much sewage, that'd be a full-time job.
Yeah, seems like it for sure. We definitely have this new type septic out there pumping it quite a bit right now.
Yeah.
And with what's going on with the north septic right now, it's either we spend a bunch of money getting that fixed or spend a bunch of money in extending your guys' infrastructure out there.
Well, I think for what's going to happen in this city, I think what you talked about going out the county road, Fifth West, and just bringing on out up to Bird Seelies would be the way.
Not going
to go with a bigger line.
If it's not going to be an expense to us, I mean, if he's going to...
Yeah.
It's there for future.
And if they have a loan to tie in, they pay their impact fees and everything. Because this place is going to... That will open up some more property if people all have gotten going. So whatever we put in, we probably need to really do some good thinking about it, make sure we're big enough to handle
what we've already had a developer once in there.
Yeah.
The problem we have with water right now, we just don't have it.
Yep.
We're just going to do it on water.
Yep, I've got water rights. Oh. Currently, we're going to be doing one phase and then doing a second phase after we get the water. So.
Okay. So. Yeah, so he wouldn't be tying into the water, it's just about the sewer.
Just the sewer. Yep.
I think we ought to, let him look into it and the cost of it.
Probably what we ought to do is get your engineers and JUB who done the master plan together and try and see what the flexibility or the possibility even has.
Perfect. Yeah, I can definitely get my engineers on line tomorrow and have them get in contact with JUB. Okay. Is there a specific contact over there that I can call?
Would it be Gary that we'd have him contact?
Yeah.
Gary Vance.
Can I get this contact? There's a card on my desk. I heard it. I worked in the board.
You got my info?
I don't have yours directly, but I've heard in them quite a few times.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Good.
Gary's number is 801-750-4771. Yeah, thank you. Is this for us to keep or is it going back?
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
Okay,
thanks, bro. Thanks, bro. So he's looking at the dealership of selling the double wides plus the extended entries.
All right. Next is Whitney.
So we just wanted to do a little update now that the plastering is done and everything's kind of settled down just a little bit. It went really, really well. It's awesome. I don't know if you guys have been in there yet, but it's great. The floor, if you have an opinion, but it feels really good. We really, really like it. Our new boiler is working great. We haven't had any issues. And we got our swimming lessons in the system, ready to go. We have all the dates. Our private lessons are almost full. Our public lessons, we still have a lot of availability, but we will be posting about that. But we're going to go through our, we have a wait list, so we'll go through a wait list, call those people, and then we're going to post about it online. So we're good there. We have our master's looking, snowboarding strong. Us, Snow College and Medicine, we're each kind of part of the Santa Fe Masters, and we're all practicing, so that's really cool. Programs we're aware of. Well, it's also during Commission Month. We went to the Verona Resource Fair, had a lot of fun at that one, have a good time with my jackets. We're going to be at the Community Night Out, which is next Monday at the Mount Pleasant State Park from 5 to 7:30. We're really excited for that too. We are looking better staffing-wise this year than we did last year. Not as many as I would like, but we still have more than we did last year. So I think the raises that we did last year really, really helped with that. So thank you guys. So we're good to go there. And then we are going to have a free swim day on June 3rd. We're going to post about that in a couple of days as well. And it's going to be a thank you for those that helped with the city cleanup. It was just so awesome. And I want to say thank you. This is a free swim day that day. It'll also be our summer opening that day as well. So there's that. Then our splash pad, Golden and I talked, and we're going to be ready to go by June 3rd. As far as we know, the system's ready to go. We didn't have
to be up for Memorial.
For Memorial Day? Okay. So, I mean, we don't have any pumps or this year that we know of. It's leaking. And we're going to work on that. We also have the feature that we wrote last year. They just never call us back. No matter how often we reach out to them. There's another one that looks like it might need some fixing, but we'll know more as they dehumanize it and get ready for summer. So that's the update on those. Any questions so far?
So tell everybody what this community night out entails.
So it's something put together by the hospital. Shauna Watts is kind of in charge of it as far as I know. And then a bunch of different local programs, communities, like I know we're going to be there, the library is going to be there, health department, the hospital. I think they're going to have a rock wall. They're going to be giving away two gun safes. There's so many different prizes, so many different things that the people are just putting out there so people know about resources. There's going to be a free dinner that they're supplying. It's welcome to everybody. We were there last year and it was really fun. So
it's done by the hospital in Six County Public Health Department.
Yeah. And I know the North Country Cares Coalition is also recruiting people for that as well.
And they've also got the drive-in that night also afterwards for the first 200 cars. It's free.
Last fall, I did promise that we would talk about the splash pad in the spring, so we should talk about splash pad. currently, what we are doing is it's free on Mondays, and that's when we have our $2 swim days. It's our family fun day. Everyone pays $2 to get into the whole pool, or the splash pad is free. I would like to keep it that way. It works really, really well. The addition that we can make with our staffing and the way that everything would work is we can make it free Monday through Friday from 9 to 1, 11 to 1, or something like that. And then when we open up to the public at 1:30 is when it would become part of the pool fee again. So that's what I propose.
I know there's been a lot of people that said that their tax dollars is paying for this and everything. So I talked to Dave the other day, and I found out that what we collect property tax-wise in this town barely pays enough money to pay for a police force, let alone anything else.
Well, it doesn't pay for the police force.
Not anything else. So that's how we're going. I don't let the residents know or understand that.
Yeah. And people who pay the outside tax, that barely covers our gas bill and our electricity bill every month. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Well, they don't understand the realities, you know, the city has, the same way it's called Troy, that they're more or less big, the realities that we have. Just, and we're trying to keep more of them upside down in the pool, and we're not where we are.
Yeah, and my notes from our last, talk about it last July, August, whatever it was, is they recommended doing volunteers. We added love. However, I struggle to believe that we would have enough consistently throughout the entire summer. We might be able to get away with like a week or two, but once people realize they're out there all day for even just 4 hours in 100-degree heat, it is really hot, really muggy, and most people don't want to give their time for that consistently throughout the summer. So I would love to do the volunteer thing. I would just need to make sure we have enough volunteers actually committed before we put anything in place.
The problem with them volunteers is there's nothing to keep them there.
Yeah.
Besides, it's hot and cold.
Yep. We would also need to make sure they have some sort of first aid training. We would need to make sure that someone also has CBO, or certified pool operator training, so that way they can test the chemicals, they can be in charge of that, so that way we wouldn't really have to do anything with it as well. So it is possible that it would take a lot of work on part of volunteers.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it.
Are you good? Because me and Brittany talked about this before on the splash pad thing. That's what we kind of wanted to come up with. So we're going through the summer with what times the splash pad's going to be free, what time it's going to be tied into the
swim. Yeah, well, I think it's good. Yeah, I think it was good.
I told her I didn't know if 9 o'clock was too early. That was a concern I had.
Or splash pad?
Yeah.
The only reason I recommended 9 o'clock was because that's when our programming starts, so we would have, like, little sister Sally would be out on the splash pad, we'll go to the swimming pool to swim. It would also just work really well with the flowing of how the staff would set things up, that sort of way. But if we want to open up at 11, we can do that as well. Either one works, you just open up the gates and turn it on.
Well, I don't know if I'm not a mother bringing young kids 9 o'clock in the morning. Your mother, what do you think?
Hey, Paul, you and I have been in on this before, but turning a sprinkler on in our driveway is not going to work either. I think from 9 to 1 would be certainly beneficial to the children. You know my feeling on this, and so I think if you could do that, the children need that. What we need to offer something free. I mean, they pay for ball, they pay for everything, so wouldn't it be nice if they had this little block of time? Most children only stay maybe 15, 20 minutes on the splash pad because, right, Brittany, there's not a whole lot to keep them there. So I think at 9 to 1 would be, I appreciate you considering doing that.
Another thing, just so everybody knows, it's not heated water. It's never been heated. Yeah. It's been circulated. It is warmer than some other splash pads, but it's not.
Yeah.
We don't have a certain
use. Them kids don't care.
Okay, so we'll go from 9 to 1.
Okay, from 9 to 1, Tuesday through Friday, and then Monday's still free all day. Okay. We will do that. And we are trying to update all of this online. Google doesn't like us changing things, and neither does Facebook. So we apologize for any miscommunication on the hours. I change it, it changes it back. I apply it for 3 hours, and it doesn't change. So we will try and get all of the information out and post it as soon as possible. Technology and I don't get along. Sorry. But yeah, we will get that out as soon as we can.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions or anything?
Looks good up there.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was quite
a good first quarter of June. Yeah, because the main one's already out.
We also are if we have time, we were going to put a little flyer together to send out to all of the elementary schools. Also, at the ground convention, there's going to be like the PCA ice cream and an eye or something that we do. We give out a pamphlet of information that will include those hours, and we'll also add a free splash pad.
Your community thing, when is it?
Monday night.
That's what I was just going to say. Let's have a poster for them.
Yeah, poster
for Monday night.
Flyers or something. Okay, we can do both. We can do a flyer and or yeah, flyer and a poster.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Thank you.
We can't submit it until September. I did touch base with the program contact. He said he'd review it for us before submission. So as poster ready, application or something, we could a little bit prior to September, but we're good there. I don't think we have any other, maybe that's just an update on that one. Personnel policy, talking to staff, sounds like you might be considering the flexible thing, is that correct?
We want to do a demo, let's see what it looks like.
Okay, so Diane Burgess is the sales contact for that. Send that over to your staff. And she also knows some option work. Contact for your staff, I'd like her to know as well. I'd be happy to be involved in that meeting if you'd like. I've been involved in demos before for Lexapol. She's pretty good and can show you that pretty well. I'm still working on the personnel policy. I can send over a draft that I have for the next week or so with pieces highlighted in that. If you're already going to move forward with Lexapol, it'd be beneficial to have that incorporated with everything else so that it all lined up. It just makes sense logistically to do everything at once with flexible if you're going to go that route. We'll keep moving forward until we hear for sure on flexible, but I'd recommend doing a demo sooner rather than later if you're interested in that.
Kind of what we talked, I talked to Jeannie about, maybe seeing if they do a demo with us and then come and present it to City Council, see if we can kind of get them to do both a presentation at City Council and kind of have the staff look at it a little bit before they came to City Council.
How she going to align work requirements with their
job description?
Job description.
The biggest thing with this personnel policy is all the, it would update our personnel policy, and I think we'd still have to, I think it would help us get the job descriptions in place. So that's a question we need to ask them as we talk to them on job description.
What, that's something that
we need to find out what's in this 100% type deal. So that's one of the questions we need to ask them as we look at the demo. One of the nice, the big thing is it's updated every year, so if the laws change, then it would automatically be able to change our personnel policy to law changes or anything else like that to keep us up to date with it, because ours now is so far outdated that it's...
It seems like a pretty slick system. If you've used like Civic Plus before, where they have an attorney come in and review your code, and then you can go on and make edits and all that type of thing, it's very similar to that.
Our police department's using it right now, and they love it. This program, and so that's one of the questions we had. You know, if we combine what the police department's got now with our personnel policy, and you know, cost, it might save us a little bit too. So,
I think your annual cost is somewhere between 36 and $3,605 for typical cost, and they discount that. You're using another branch of their company.
You could spend that real fast and legal fees.
Yeah, well, you have the attorneys to look over that and keep it up to date. That's what really, it's like, this is very well worth looking into.
Yeah. Okay. Let me know if you want to time up for that. And then the last thing I had was the Growth Summit. I think I talked to David, and that's the same manager council meeting. Most of the municipalities in the region are changing their council meeting to attend that. Not saying you have to. I would definitely recommend having at least someone come. We have, I think, 48 of 55 right now, representation of 48 of 55. We have over 200 people registered for that event. Should be really good. We have 16 different presenters coming, lots of land use attorneys. Again, that's on the 23rd of the day from 5 to 8:30. Dinner will be served at 5. It's in Richfield at the Sierra Valley Center. And if you're going to keep your meeting that night, I'd recommend sending somebody from your staff or your P&Z at least. A lot of the sessions are very land use focused, so planning and zoning members are our most frequent attendees to that event. I think they probably cover somewhere around 50% that hasn't checked, but that's definitely the most consistent group that we see. So, all I have.
Does the planning and zoning know about that, Dave? Do they know about this group?
Yeah, I sent that out to them and make them aware that said they needed help registering to let them know I'm not heard from anyone.
Okay. The line is actually like 2 hours ago. Which will save people. That's totally fine. We can build them a buffer, but let me know as soon as possible if we can just for food numbers and that type of thing.
Okay. Okay. And then we meet Jennifer Boyd from the planning committee, huh?
Yeah.
That's our city council meeting tonight. That's what we ran into conflicts to move, but we need this. I know one thing that we need to start looking at is like the annexations, because I know this is going to come up again. But that kind of freeze on it for right now, but we need to start looking at that. What other states require to annex in as far as water, what, you know, so we get some guidelines there.
Yeah, there's a process. There's rumor that the state's going to look at changing that this year with the legislature dramatically because of the complexity of the process currently. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but usually when there's rumor, it takes a couple of years to cycle through. But we are working with a couple other communities right now on annexations. I would recommend preparing before rather than when it's happening. We have a couple that weren't prepared, and it's pretty tough to line things up as it's occurring, trying to put together annexation agreements after your petition's filed, try to stop final approvals. Really high stress for you guys because you have 3-4 months to go through that process. So, yeah, we can look at it. Do you have a current up-to-date annexation policy plan?
Not really.
Yeah, you have a plan, but...
Yeah.
There's too many new polls again. It's like we're not still that clear enough on why.
Yeah, I can touch base with your staff and get what you currently have, and we can propose changes or a full update. That's something that we can work on.
Okay. Anything else you guys have for me?
Okay.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you.
All right.
Shane requested to move to the next meeting.
Yes. Okay, so table Shane Solar till next week, or till next month. Next is to approve some resolutions. Resolution 2023-5, a resolution regarding retirement benefit for elected and appointed officials. Dave, you want to tell us a little bit more how this came about because of your audit?
Yes. That's statewide and countywide, we were one of the first ones, so we've been having a power retirement systems compliance audit. And I could not find the documentation for this until after he came down on site. So I prepared this resolution, set it up for his review. He really liked the resolution, thought it was one of the better ones. And so that said, I did find the council minutes from 2019 when we adopted it, but I think the resolution will, next time be easier to always locate than some random council meeting minutes. So I recommend we still just go ahead and proceed. That resolution matches the minutes from 2019, so nothing has changed on what we adopted. This resolution will always be easier to find, and the auditor from Utah Retirement Systems has reviewed that resolution and really liked it. So that's how that came about. The other change, since I mentioned the personnel policy, we're having to change the way we're doing our public safety employees. So there's one other section of our personnel policy that's going to be suddenly really out of date because we're dramatically doing different overtime. So we'll increase the need to move forward with something like less employee or something else to do our personnel policy because it's going to be different now how we're doing payroll and what's in our policy. So that's that resolution from what came about.
So you have questions on it?
Well, just basically saying elected officials are not it, they're being eligible for retirement system. I have no problem with that.
No, but where it should be.
And if it's easier for you, I mean, if you know, we don't want to cause any problems with people, you know, with the auditors, so it seems like it's
might it be appropriate to read the resolution for those in the public to know what the resolution is for the following?
Mount Pleasant City's resolution 2022-5, the resolution regarding retirement benefits for elected and appointed officials. Whereas the Mount Pleasant City desires to be in compliance with all rules and regulations with the Utah retirement system. Whereas Mount Pleasant City has been notified that it does not have a written policy in regards to appointed and elected officials. Whereas the appointed policy, appointed positions of police chief, city recorder, and city treasurers have been paid full-time position. Whereas the elected officials of Mount Pleasant City, the elected officials of the city council and mayor have been non-beneficial, benefited, and part-time. Be it therefore ordained, the City Council hereby formally adopts the policy that all future elected officials will remain ineligible with the Utah Retirement System participation, as well as the appointed positions of police chief, city recorder, and city treasurer are to be deemed as eligible for any future Tier 2 appointees, provided that the city would work, provided that they would work 30 or more hours per week and be eligible for other benefits as classified by the Utah Retirement System. This resolution takes place immediately upon the passage adopted by the Mount Pleasant City Council on this date in March, which will have to be changed to May. That's how it
works. Once a Tier 2 appointee.
So the Tier 2 and the Tier 1, they changed the retirement system.
Yep,
and Dave can tell us better on Tier 2.
So the state retirement rules, I think they're kind of looking at projections and some minor corrections. Like Utah has one of the best retirement pensions in the nation. And they were looking at some projections back when the economy was struggling in 2011, and so they came up with a minor tweak called Tier 2. Most city employees still are Tier 1 and are currently employed, but any new ones after 2011 were put into Tier 2. And so that's why I had to come back with this resolution. I couldn't find the council minutes that we adopted that for the elected appointed officials. we've done everything correctly by URS retirements as far as the reports we've sent in. I just couldn't find the documentation that we adopted that policy.
So even if it has been adopted, we can adopt it again.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it just makes sense. I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion that we adopt Resolution 2023-5, a resolution regarding retirement benefits for elected and appointed officials.
And I will second that.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul, seconded by Lynn, to approve with Resolution 2023-5, a resolution regarding retirement benefits for elected and appointed officials. Roll call.
Lynn.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rodney.
Yes.
Now, we've got another question. Down here it says that elected officials are not... You don't get any benefits. And up here it says benefits for elected and appointed,
which means there's no benefits.
Okay.
Basically, it spells out the benefits. So the ordinance is concerning benefits, which this ordinance spells out, you do not get any.
Just,
you're not eligible for any benefits.
This kind of contradicts itself.
Yes. Yes. Yep. All right, the next resolution is 2023-6, a resolution for adopting a tentative budget for Mount Pleasant City for the 2023-2024 fiscal year. We're at section 10-6111. Utah Code requires the Director of Finance to submit a tentative budget for each upcoming fiscal year on or before the first regular City Council meeting in May. And whereas the City Director of Finances has submitted the required budget in timely fashion to the Mount Pleasant City Council, and whereas the City Council has proposed to schedule a public hearing for June 13, 2023 to receive citizen comment regarding the proposed budget, and now therefore to be resolved by the Mount Pleasant City Council as follows. Number one, for the fiscal year 2023-2024 budget for the Mount Pleasant City submitted by the City Director of Finance, which is adopted. Number two, that a public hearing to consider the proposed budget is set for June 13th, 2023 at Mount Pleasant City Hall, 10:15 West Mount Pleasant City, Utah. Number three, the tentative budget shall be made available for inspection by the general public for a minimum of 10 days prior to the schedule of the public hearing. This is adopted by the Mount Pleasant City Council on this date, May 2023.
I have a general question. So in the number of the resolution, the 2023 is the year, is the second number of the month? The
no, it's the resolution for the year.
That's how many resolutions we've done this year.
I'm just talking about the numbering.
Yeah, so
2023-6, the 6 says this is the 6th resolution of 2023.
I see, okay.
Yeah.
Are you aware that in the public hearing, the resolution was not identified? Not that it's maybe an issue, but just so you realize, all it said was resolution 2023-6.
Yes.
And nothing.
Yeah.
So, public did not know what you were addressing in, as you did with the first resolution.
So again, the public, basically again, yes, it's kind of a thing there that we did get left off the agenda.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the public.
Events have to give the public enough information that they know exactly what they're going to be covering in your agenda. And that one was silent on what that resolution was. So. Just
that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Mayor, by state law, actually, you can adopt that now. So we're carrying forward some old boilerplate on there where it says on before the first meeting in May. The state law is now on before the last meeting in May. It changed in May of 2020. So, if the council so desired, I mean, we could adopt that, post the correct resolution.
basically table it tonight and come up with a second meeting in May.
But out of that, I did want to see if you guys wanted to schedule like a work meeting to kind of go over some of the budget in depth, or if you wanted to have some questions out.
I think we need to, yeah.
And would you consider making the budget available to the public before June 3rd? So right after that first meeting that would approve the budget or review it?
It's 10 days before
the public hearing, which is the 13th of June, so 10 days before the June 3rd. Would you consider making it available to the public before then, which would be the 3rd after this next meeting in May, when you would review it? So the budget would come to you the next meeting, you would review it, if you approve it, make the budget available to the public right away. That way they allow a maximum time for public to review it. And questions and answers, things like that.
The biggest thing would be is if we make changes on it, then it would take, it might take a week after the meeting for those changes to be so you can have it posted.
Let me make changes when you do.
Table this, we can post it for that way then?
Probably. Yeah, probably ought to do it.
So we still got time on the next meeting to do it, so.
And whatever you can do to make the budget available for these changes, I understand, Mayor, but whatever you could, because it sounds like based on some things I heard tonight, there's some things that are upside down out there. So the public may want to have some time to really digest the budget going forward for those various things. Thank you.
Okay, so we table that resolution. So May 23rd. Nobody signed up for early participation? Okay, council reports. Lynn.
Okay, I guess Stephanie, she's been doing okay. She's going to be needing some help. She's getting to the point. She's getting more to take care of.
That's not on that deal,
so
you can't do it.
Okay, so
you have to table it.
Sorry about that. Well, you're good. Just want to put a great thanks out to our volunteers. I mean, with that trick and everything, everybody, you know, we've got a lot of good people here. A lot of come in and volunteer. And so I think, you know, we got to make sure we do our jobs, make sure everybody else does, you know, so. I think we make this a really nice community if everybody bucks up and does what they need to do. So, questions I got is, we talked about that sidewalk on 7th South. He wants to know about that, so what happened with that?
I haven't reached out to it yet. I forgot.
Put it down. I mean, you know, we're still holding their excavation permit.
Yeah, okay. You got it covered.
Okay. And then how come the restrooms are not open? I mean, it hasn't been too cold.
Can I address the council real quick?
Yep.
Councilman Beasley, ever since our whole thing, every council meeting, you bring hostility towards me and the other works department. This is creating a hostile work environment and needs to stop.
You're telling me what to do? Oh, this is to come from public, not from me.
We can't go into this heated discussion.
This is things that you need to back up and do.
We're
doing. Oh, yes, you are.
The bathrooms will be on this week. We've been getting sprinklers on, we've been mowing, but this has to stop.
No, it doesn't. This is a public deal.
This is creating a hostile work environment.
Well, then you start back to doing your job.
We are doing our job.
Oh, okay.
I decided myself if we could run some of this past the mayor, let him have it rather than do it in public format.
It's a public shaming every time council, you are me. Well, and it needs to stop.
No, don't.
It doesn't need to stop.
There's no stop.
It needs to stop or I'll take legal action.
Okay. Yes, I ain't worth a shit, am I? Just finish it.
That's it, man.
That's it. I can't do my job, just not with the I mean, my head. I mean, we try to hire good people, everything right now, I get butted down the hiring system. We better just have this at one place, because I just, yeah. The way I've been through this, everybody else. I mean, why do we do a hiring session? Why don't the whole council know about this?
And yet, we follow our personal policy on hiring.
Yes. So why did we know and get volunteers for doing it? Why does it say, okay, just a certain people go?
That's what the personnel policy says.
Our personnel policy right here says, interview as the personnel administrator, department head, mayor, and city council member, which was bold, or city ombudsman.
Right, but I'm saying...
Or so, is involved in the interview process.
Well, that's right. So, but I mean, so don't you think that every councilman should get the opportunity? I mean, should we know that you're going to hire?
It was advertised, obviously.
I've had all the hiring committee ever since I committed to council. I reported that the ombudsman was the last mayor, and he reported me this time to the ombudsman. I've been in all the hiring for about 7 years now. And it's went pretty smoothly. I think we get too many in there, too many asking questions, or too much.
Right, but I don't think we've got the right people for it. At the end. That didn't work out.
You wouldn't get to my place.
So.
I was there for 2 days.
Yeah, I know. I want you to.
I mean. I don't know. That was the policy, you know, and employees' obligations and everything, and city obligations. Who's responsible? You know?
Yeah, well, one part of that's
got to be open so that we don't have this. As to what each person's responsibility is. But it's. I know we have two good guys. I think they're good guys. Both of them. They're young. The one is Zach.
No, he didn't. Cage and Cedar.
Cage, yeah, he's the one with all the experience and operating and everything. And then the top two boys. So yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, that was my choice, and I just left it there. And let these two make their choice. But the process was done. And if you want to be part of it, that's up to the mayor. I'd more than welcome anybody.
Yeah, I didn't like with the long crew. I mean, who did you hire on the long crew?
You hired Tyler Harmer, Tyler Halley, and that's it so far.
Oh, no, the cemetery looks pretty good out there.
Yeah, they've been working their guts out. Well, yeah. The whole part of the business is working their guts out.
I'd say a little bit of Lynn's point, I'd say a little bit of everybody's point. We've got a personnel policy, and yet there's been times that we haven't stuck with it. There's a policy in there that says a person that's hired has a certain amount of time to meet some specifications, and they happen. So why do we pick and choose what policies we're going to enforce? You understand what I was saying?
Which one are you referring to, Paul?
The other kid. He lived 5 minutes away, too far away, and yet we got another kid that can't pass the test. So,
honestly, I'm going to have to stop this right now because it's not, and it needs to be in a closed session. You cannot.
You can't do
that. I don't want to personnel and main names in an open meeting.
This was an ex employee. He doesn't work for the city anymore.
Yeah,
he doesn't work for the city anymore. I didn't name another person, did I?
Yes.
I'm just saying, why do we have to pick and choose what policies we're going to follow? That's all I can even say.
Let's sit down and have a closed meeting.
We're going to do that. Another thing we need to make sure is we get these packets out at least by Thursday night. I'm tired of trying to cram through all this stuff.
That was up to you yesterday.
I'd say Thursday night.
But you do get it ahead of time, you still don't look at it.
I do too look at it, but my God, we got it. Hey, we got to stop.
We got to stop.
All right. What have you got, Paul? Flowers. I think, are we ready to put the pots out?
Yeah, we'll do it right before Memorial.
Okay, she says she's got them ready out there, so
we'll pick them up the week of Memorial.
And then we've got two groups that are going to be the fire guys in the library and the cemetery. But I kind of held off a little because it was still some cold nights. I'd hate to put those flowers out and have them go black. So we'll get those going. That's all I've got.
What's that, then? She took care of everything that I pulled. I haven't had a chance to talk to Shane. I've been writing to you. And he's going to open my purchase card. So. Grundy.
So I've been communicating with Mario and Ice Engineering about getting together with him and meeting or having a pre-final review for the Aspen Village road project. We're going to be trying to set a time for Friday this week. So we'll have that pre-final review meeting. And I don't think there's been any changes with that. I think we decided to have, you know, the city's going to install the dry wells and our detention basin, stormwater. Those are the two things he's concerned about. I don't see any, it's just a formality more than anything than just going over the plans one more time. And this is our opportunity, if there's any changes, to bring them up. We talked about having a volunteer remove the sign right in the middle of the road up there. If we can utilize volunteer help, if someone's willing to do that, and versus paying a contractor, you know, it's brought up that there's been a couple residents up there that I think they're tired of it. They'd be willing to tear it out and get rid of it. So we're going to have that meeting Friday. The schedule, updated estimated schedule is that having a final review May 22nd. We'll start advertising on June 1st, bid opening June 27th, notice to proceed August 14th. We'll have to have the sumps installed and completed by August 20th. And then complete roadway improvements by September 22nd. It's just a process we got to go through. Whenever you're working with engineers, we really trying to be aggressive again, pushing the, you know, getting going on as quick as we can. And other than that, we're going to have some road money available July 1st.
$464,000.
So we need to, you know, we'd like to do some chip sailing. That's not a lot of money for our roads, let's be honest. I mean, you can barely buy a house for that. So, we're going to try to maintain the road we've got. I got some chip sailing so that maybe we can, and just do, you know, Paul's talking about using some of this composite out here, trying to through a block of that and seeing if we can use that. You know, there'll be some expense in that. If we can get, you know, pick an area we want to do that, and then have a chip seal when they're in town, chip seal. And then if we want to try to do some 3-inch overlay, you know, something's horrible, we might have to go extra.
We're going to look at chips in the cemetery this year also.
Okay. So I'm not the one that decides what roads, you know, we're going to do. I'd like to get some input.
Oh, there's that one that's truly been rough, and that's the one they get a lot of pushing and stuff using. That's right by the station there on. I mean, that is just,
oh, yeah,
it's just constantly.
St. Clair and Montreal.
No, it's like the Fifth West. Fifth West, down between the Green Track.
It's between the county and city, and it's just, yeah. I mean, it's just, I really love people. It's funny, the horse people like to travel. But when they come from the west, they always end up that road. And it, I mean, you can barely pass it sometimes. You gotta go off the side.
So that's from.
It's not really fair.
North.
Seventh North, clear down on 1,000 North, basically down by the Concord Arena.
Oh,
that's 1,000
North. Oh, just south. Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah,
that's
the west.
Anyway.
I know another road we need to look at is 4th North.
Yeah,
because that road's still in excellent shape, but we're starting to get a lot of cracks in it and stuff to save that road.
Well, 4th North on the east side?
No, west side. Going down to the new state.
Oh, yeah.
4th and 5th is ones that's still in good shape, and I know, but there's starting to get a lot of cracks in them.
And we was looking at, you know, 5th North also, for a single coat chip seal and that. Take care of that Tibbs Road extension. Forgot to possibly. But I think the general idea is trying to maintain the good roads we have from your top priority. And then some of these horrible spots like you brought up in and that one from St. Clair to the mortuary is just.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah.
That's a block.
Yeah, I know, we should put down the wish list.
If we come up with a wish list and then I can get some estimates, you know.
We should be more over town.
Put that all over town.
Yeah.
And then I'd like to bring up, I guess, since we're kind of talking about roads, that we could be eyeing a lot bigger road project next summer. So we have a road loan coming off the books. We're doing a stormwater master plan right now.
We approved to get the grant to do it. But on the roads, the stormwater is just the reuse of the sewer pond.
Oh, okay. So
but we have to get that grant on the road study.
Okay. Anyway, we're having a lot bigger project for next summer.
We have to have the road county down before we can apply for the grant money to get.
Right, you can't just go ask people for money without having a study and a plan. You know, we're working on those things right now.
Be nice to have new roads all the way through.
And we've kind of been waiting for this new irrigation system to come through town, but I think we're kind of feeling like that we're running out of time. We might have to be strategic about where we put in roads and have to wait on some, depending on where we see some of these irrigation truck lines and things like that. That's kind of the general plan as far as this year goes. We'll have to add another road project. Use what we have available in our budget to take care of the good roads we have. Hopefully, build some, lay down some new asphalt on real bad areas. And when we're out of money, we're out. That's all I got for now.
Community night was mentioned. The water treatment plant has gone out to bid. There is a pre-bid meeting here May 24th at 2:30.
signing the process of being that far along. I had a request from Diane Blackman to read this here at the city council, and I did hand you all the papers. All of these citizens interested in helping make that Tory life and not let the city look nicer. We want to do our part to help redesign and rehang the lighting on the buildings on Main Street for the holidays. We're asking that you officially include us on the planning redesign, rehanging the city lights on Main Street. We hope to benefit our community with our service in this way. We realize there needs to be meetings held to make plans for hanging lights before the cold weather sets in. We thought those meetings should be held this summer, so we'll work. So work can comfortably be done by fall. We want to. We want the current lights removed and either reused or upgraded, or get new lights and rehang and mount in a design way. Please remember us and include us in the meetings of our city has this purpose. We want to help with the sharing ideas, talent, energy, and resources to be able to help with the city beautification project. And this is signed by Dan Blackham with a number of interested citizens. And you guys all got that letter. That's all I have.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Just makes the motion 2 seconds. Okay. Seconds. All of us in favor.
You guys want to email me or text me just about anything? Email me. I need to know. Kind of a wish list, so we can.